Hello and welcome to a new episode of From Beirut. Today, as always, we're going to go ahead and welcome my guest today. Mr. Ridwan is a political analyst. Welcome, Mr. Ridwan.
Thank you.
Thank you. So starting today, it's a bit different than our other shows for the past 11 to 12 days. Day 28 of the Israeli aggression on Lebanon, the Israeli aggression did carry out massive raids on the southern parts of Lebanon in Bikaa. And for the first time in a long time, here on the southern suburbs of Beirut, yesterday afternoon they started and they have continued until early this morning. If you can see here a bit behind me, you can see a bit some of the smoke from a collapsed building in the Shuaifet area in our background. Other than that, we're going to be talking over about how Hezbollah has continued to defend and has actually unveiled M-80 rockets. In addition, also, unfortunately, Gaza has been facing ongoing extermination, where so far around 73 people have been killed by the Israeli entity. We're going to go ahead and go through all of this today in the show. Mr. Ridwan, we're going to start off, of course, with this latest continuation or recontinuation of the Israeli attacks, specifically here on the southern suburbs of Beirut. First of all, I mean, in general, why have they started to recontinue these attacks here?
I think it's due to their failure on the battleground at the front, at the borders of Lebanon. They want to just release some of the tension maybe relax their own people that we are still strong and we can hit anywhere, any place at any time in Lebanon. And that's why this is kind of trying to achieve something to show their own society, because so far what's happening in the south, it's not going according to the Israelis' plan. Now all plans have failed. Integrating the Lebanese ground has failed so far. Even before the major attack took place on Lebanon, they have paid a very high price, because if we look at the numbers of the Merkavas destroyed. True. And other military vehicles like soldiers' carriers and other equipment, and also the number of the people or the soldiers killed on the ground is very high according to the limited operation till now. They're still testing on the ground. They are trying, they're looking for a weak point just to go through, and so far they didn't find any. They faced a very tough resistance from the fighters there, and they have failed to achieve something, at least to tell their own people that we are succeeding, we are going to achieve victory in this battle. I believe that's why I want to just recall that in 1982, with about 20,000 soldiers, invaded Lebanon and have reached Beirut in 72 hours.
Yes.
Surrounding Beirut in 72 hours, invading most of the Lebanese ground from the south up to the Bikaa Valley and up to Beit Miri around Beirut. Now, after 28 days after the invasion, what's the so-called the major operation? They couldn't cross even or overtaking just one Lebanese village, just to say that we are succeeding in our operation.
Yes.
They have achieved nothing but failure and more prices. And as Martyr Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah promised them, if you come to Lebanon, you will have no army and your tanks will be totally destroyed.
Exactly. Well, Mr. Ridwan, that's basically what is happening here in Lebanon, the continuation of the Israeli aggressions. And as we did mention at the beginning, Hezbollah continues to defend and continues to carry out their own attacks on the Israeli entity. Yesterday, as we know, in Caesarea, Netanyahu's residence was attacked by Hezbollah drones. After the Israeli media were able to start reporting on it, they have said that the attack on Caesarea highlighted the challenges the Israeli defense system faces encountering the drones. What have we seen? We know that the U.S. have been sending anti-missile systems, and other people of their allies have been assisting them, and still they cannot target or stop them before they reach their targets. What does this say about the capabilities?
If I want to just explain something for the audience to understand, that it's the same drone that which hit the base of Golani and killed 5 soldiers, injured 67 others.
Yes.
In the attempt to assassinate Netanyahu by hitting his house at 6:30 in the morning, using the same drone, which was flying along with the helicopter, which is, yes, you know, a fighter helicopter, and failed to shoot it down and reach its target. And even the warning whistles in the area didn't work. Just 30 seconds before they have, you know.
So definitely not much of a warning.
Exactly. So he couldn't go anywhere. And also this specific drone, you know, it's been a surprise for everybody because it has a very low frequency just to be detected by the Israeli radar, and it disappears from the screens, and it all went 70 kilometers to reach its target. And what's more surprising, it was very accurate and hit exactly where they wanted to hit. So I believe this time Netanyahu was lucky, but I don't think that he will be lucky the next time, because there are going to be next times till he pays the price for what he did to our people, to our country. And another thing, that most of the Israeli officials lives in that area.
Yeah.
And they will be an easy target. Now, the promise of Netanyahu failed again and again and again. He promised the settlers to send them to bring them back home. Yes. In the north. Now he is a displaced. He joined them, and he is going to be displaced himself. So this is another big failure. If some people don't understand it or don't read it this way, they must reconsider what they are talking about. Because I don't believe that Netanyahu is going to come to that house, to that villa, once more until we reach a kind of a ceasefire.
Well, I do have to ask you your opinion, Mr. Radwan. Israeli sources yesterday were mentioning, of course, as we know, there was a media blackout. We saw a lot of helicopters. We saw a lot of forces in the area of Caesarea, specifically after the drone attack, where no media were allowed in. Sources say that Netanyahu and his family were not located. However, some of neighbors posted on social media that he was indeed in his home. There were even later in the afternoon, there were sources that his son had been killed in the attack. I mean, do you believe they were even in the house, or do you believe the sources are again trying to cover the situation?
I believe they were in the house. First of all, because they are on holiday. They have the Eid al-Arsh.
Yes, one of their holidays, the Jewish, yes.
This is one of the Jewish Eid.
Yes.
And it was Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it's also another...
their holy day.
The holiday. So I believe that this family was in the house. But luckily, it seems that the drone didn't hit the bedroom. Maybe it hit the other part, because it's a big house, it's a big villa. And we might not know. Maybe he was sleeping in the shelter.
Yes.
Underground.
True.
Because he is a coward, and he will not dare to sleep in his bedroom anymore, even in Jerusalem, where he lives. So because now the rockets of the Lebanese resistance is so precise to reach any time, anywhere, any place, any target for any reason, because now we have enough reasons. After all, this crimes committed against our country, the aggression that we have seen from this brutal enemy, and willing and promising that he will do more and more killing, it's now becoming a crime of war. It's a genocide against civilians. with the permission, with full cover, full support from the American government and also its allies.
So this was definitely a message. This is a message they wanted to deliver, you believe?
I believe this, it was an attempt. It failed. It will succeed next time, I'm sure. It's a message for everybody that the escalation of the war is not in your favor, and you are going to pay a very high price if you are stubborn enough and ignore your failures on the ground to continue this war. That's why the Reserve Army officer called Amos Hochstein.
Yes.
He is the delegate to Lebanon. Told Mr. Nabih Berri 28 days ago,
before the aggression,
that all lines of negotiations are closed. No more negotiations. Now the sound of the battle or the on the ground will decide the next move. Surprisingly, yesterday or last night, we heard that Amos Hochstein is coming back to Beirut. So what has happened so far since in 28 days? What's the reasons to reopen the negotiations with the Lebanese government? And also, a couple of days ago, they have threatened Nabih Berri's life.
Yes.
That they were going to kill him. So those people, this kind of enemy, I'm talking about America, I'm not talking about Israel, because Israel is not, it's only a Muppet, yeah. An American Muppet. I'm not with the theory that America works for Israel. No, Israel works for the America and was employed and supported and grown up under the support and the supplies of the Americans. Because we know that now if the Americans don't interfere in this war, Israel could be wiped off from Palestine in 24 hours. So, coming to Beirut, what has he to offer? Because they were forcing for a presidential election,
yes,
under the war, and calling or naming somebody, specific person, who can they trust him to apply their plans in the region. They thought so hastily and so quick in a way that Hezbollah has finished, has nothing to do with the politics in Lebanon, and resistance will be destroyed in days.
This is after the assassination of Sayed Hassan, you're quoting, yes?
Exactly. So that was the whole course since the assassination of Sayed Hassan. I believe that they were stoned by the assassination, because they don't understand. Even for 75 years, neither the Israelis or the Americans tried to study our mentality, try to study our culture, try to study our history. They don't understand us at all, because now we are so proud to feel that we have been led by somebody who is willing to pay his life for his country and his people, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah. And on top of that, now Yahya Sinwar was killed fighting,
yes,
in a battle. So, and he fought for the last end, even after he ran out of ammunition and hand grenades, he fought with a stick.
Yes.
So he was willing to go till the end, and that's what he wanted to, that's what he deserves. He was not killed in a tunnel. He was not killed disguised by a woman, and he was not just carrying the prisoners under his arm. He was not hiding behind his own people. He was not hiding behind the prisoners, the Israeli prisoners, and he was not killed by an air raid, which is just dumped him under the ground.
Well, Mr. Redwan, since you did bring this up, perhaps for our Western viewers, let's bring it a little closer to home. Since you brought up the last way that Yahya Sinwar was actually an image captured him before he was killed, isn't this the same thing that we do see in Hollywood movies? I mean, as we know, the West continues to watch their movies of their American hero, the last man standing, covered in mud and dust and fighting along with his comrades, and they consider him a hero.
Yeah, Because, you know, for the American media and the American government, we have experienced the double scaling issues in, yes. in the dealing with people. Because I just remember when Reagan was in presidency, he was supporting and supplying the rebels in Nicaragua. And he called them all the time the freedom fighters against their own government. Mm-hmm. It was not against another outside government invading their own country.
Yeah.
So if you called some gangs in Nicaragua against Ortega and called them freedom fighters, and you paid millions and millions of dollars out of the money of the taxpayers. Now, if somebody is resisting the occupation, the aggression against an invader to his country, you call him. And was most shocking and disgusting that Biden has congratulated Netanyahu for the operation killing Sinwar, and now many American officials said that now the world will be safer without Sinwar. So, as you said long before, when you assassinated Musawi,
yes.
The leader of Hezbollah, and you assassinated Ahmed Yassin, the founder of Hamas, and then Abdelaziz Rantisi, yes. and Fathi Shuqaqi, and we don't run out of names if yes. we want to recall them all, and nothing. Every time you assassinate a leader, you face another stronger and firmer and maybe more determined, exactly. You didn't achieve anything. You must realize that this kind of aggression will not push us to lay down our arms, our weapons. We are not going to hand the missiles we have. We are going to build stronger and stronger and stronger resistance, because we lived for 75 years under this aggression, under this this pressure from being attacked by an invader. And we have so many symbols to talk about, because in 1982 what they did in Lebanon was 20,000 Lebanese people were killed in the invasion 1982.
Yes.
And then in 1993, 1996, 2000, 2006, and despite the wars on Gaza in 2007, 8, 11, 14, 16, 18.
It keeps on going.
And it's a continuous war. Maybe we have some kind of a truce for a few years and then continues. Because what's the reasons? Can anybody in the West ask themselves why are this war is continuing? Because Netanyahu has a map which has wanted to achieve.
Yes.
And this achievement will not stop. This war will not stop. Either we destroy them or they destroy us. There's nothing in between. Because the plans of Netanyahu is to take over the whole Lebanon, and those Lebanese, you know, some of the stupid Lebanese people must understand that the threat is not against the Shiite or the resistance.
Yes.
It's against every Lebanese person.
True.
Despite his religion.
Against the land of Lebanon.
Against the land of Lebanon. And the whole of Syria, the whole of Jordan, the whole of Iraq, part of Saudi Arabia, part of Egypt, and part of Turkey.
Yes.
And now Erdogan mentioned that,
yes.
that and he is very afraid,
yes.
that if the Israelis succeed to take over Syria, that they will be on his borders.
We even saw the Iranian foreign minister yesterday in Istanbul.
Exactly, because the Iranian foreign minister trying to explain to those people, to those governments, that the danger will not be there only, will not stop in Lebanon. Wiping Hezbollah off is not going to eliminate any danger coming from this government. So for these reasons, the Iranians understand the plans of the Israelis, and they understand it well. Either they invade the whole countries. And who wants to stay will be the goyim of the Israeli government.
Yes.
And what I mean about the goyim, the slaves. We were born in this shape just to serve. This is slavery.
Yes.
It's another kind of slavery by their own beliefs. So I believe that the Iranian Prime Minister, my own opinion, has two messages to deliver to those countries. Some countries, they trying to explain to them that you are going to be next. Second, I believe that was, I don't have an information, but
yes,
my own analysis, that delivering a message of warning, don't help the Israelis attacking Iran, because if you help them, you will be the next target. So that's why.
Well, with that, Mr. Ridwan, we are going to move over a bit to Palestine, actually. Unfortunately, a headline that did not receive much information. Again, as we mentioned at the very beginning, the extermination that's happening in Gaza. Yesterday, at least 73 people have been killed in an Israeli attack on North Gaza's Beit Lahia. And also this morning, Israel's police minister, Ben-Gvir, stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque under heavy protection from occupation forces. The situation that we are seeing currently in Palestine, could you describe it a bit? I mean, it's been over a year of the war aggression there. The people in Gaza, are hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands, are kept at hospitals that are being surrounded by occupation forces, doctors and patients and victims, and they're continuing to be attacked. How much longer can the people in Gaza actually withstand these circumstances?
Well, It's a massacre happening under the eyes of the world.
Yes.
Because I don't believe that United Nations is an effective organization anymore. It's you cannot rely on that. The Europeans, I mean, about talking about especially the British and the German, exactly, they are part of this war. And they are supplying and making all the arms and weapons, ammunition supplies all the time. So they have an air bridge, which is, you know, delivering all the needs for the Israeli army. So the plan is to eliminate the, to wipe off the Palestinian people from there.
Yes.
So it's a total destruction. And it's an, if you want to call it very clearly, it's an ethnic cleansing.
It is.
So now the martyr in Gaza reached, the number reached about 43,000,
yes,
and 100,000 injured, and tens of thousands still under the ground. They didn't find their bodies or under the
or
the
they're
rebels.
Unable to, and, yes.
Under, it's an ethnic, they want to take over Gaza with no people at all. So they have nowhere to go at all. Short supplies also. Either you die out of an attack or an air raid, or you die out of starvation.
But what is the plan of the Israelis?
The plan is, as we said, to expand the just the
build more settlements.
Build, of course. And what's more surprisingly and shocking, that Trump said that Israel is too small. We have to expand the borders of,
yeah,
Israel. So it's a Zionist plan. You know, joined by the the Zionists in America, in the States, because they want to, you know, I believe strategically they want to cut off the road to the Chinese and the Russians to come to take over this area.
Yeah.
So what's most disappointing, that's as I said last time with you, that the Chinese are not reacting to this, because the Chinese are part of this, and they had their own Silk Road coming, the plan, and on the opposite, that the Americans have the Ben-Gurion channel, and this is all based on economical achievement, because with the Ben-Gurion channel, they will close the circle around Egypt. Egypt will not be effective at all at that time. It would lose the interest of the Suez Channel,
yes,
and also that will cut the road on the Chinese to come and play an economical or effective role in the region. In this way, and they will dig the oil out of Gaza shore and the Lebanese shore also, gas and oil, and they will have full control for the next 50 years on the shore, on the oils in the Gulf area. So this is the whole plan, is how to take over the whole area. They will not trust the Emirates or the Gulf governments to do this job, because they don't understand anything at all. They are so ignored by what's going on. They think that they are safe because Netanyahu is protecting them. Now, Netanyahu himself needs somebody to be to protect him.
Yeah.
He cannot protect you anymore because he escaped his assassination attempt last time yesterday, but he will not in the future. So the whole plan is to take over the whole geography of the Mesopotamia, control it under the umbrella of the Americans, and the Americans, they will have full control of the Middle East. This is this is not going to happen because the people in this area, in this region, they will not accept the humiliation of the American and live under the Jews or the Israelis' rules. Because let's take an example: what's happening in West Bank?
Yes.
They have a peace treaty with the government in the West Bank. This is the Oslo treaty, and. They don't apply this treaty at all. They are killing, humiliating, building more settlements, bringing more settlers. And what's the reason for the authority in West Bank to be there? It has no power, nothing at all, nothing to be
The authority you're talking about...
Mahmoud Abbas.
Yes.
So I'm talking about Mahmoud Abbas and his governments. They are a bunch of...
Because there's a lot of Westerners who don't really understand the idea of the Palestinian Authority, and they continue to ask on social media, where is the Palestinian Authority? Could you perhaps elaborate a bit, maybe the history a bit briefly about Mahmoud Abbas?
Mahmoud Abbas was in Lebanon before the Oslo Treaty.
Yes.
And Mahmoud Abbas was in one among the Fatah leaders with Yasser Arafat. They have tried to lay down their weapons and go for a peace talk in Oslo with the Israelis. And that reached an agreement that to build or to have an independent Palestinian state in West Bank and Gaza.
Yes.
And after this these years, as we know that Yasser Arafat was poisoned, and another people took over, and they kept. And if we want to make this scene short, now we are seeing the government of which is produced by Oslo in 1993, and they thought that the Palestinians finally, because they have reached. Peace, because they recognized of the existence of Israel, and with the Palestinian government on the West Bank, which is only 22% out of the historical Palestine.
Wow.
All right, but the agreement in Oslo says that building settlements in the West Bank cannot be continued; must stop. And taking over Palestinian lands is not allowed by the treaty. And the Palestinian government will have full control over, with some cooperation, with the...
And we've seen how this has played out.
And what we see now is just a bunch of, let's say, workers for the Israeli government,
yes.
Against their own people, more set. Now, when the peace, when the treaty was signed in 1993, the settlers in the West Bank were about 150,000.
Yes.
After the agreement of Oslo, now, this day, the settlers are 900,000 people. So did it stop? Building more settlements didn't stop. Yes. Bringing more settlers also, which is, you know, reached about, almost is going to reach a million. So what did they achieve out of this peace treaty? They have chosen this kind of to be an agent for the Israeli government against your own people. People. You know, they are arresting fighters, arresting resistance. They are helping with intelligence information.
So basically they're complicit in the genocide of their own people.
Exactly, because they are they turned themselves into a businessman, making lots of money, which Israel knows how to give them more and more. And they think that if they live in luxury in West Bank, in some of the West Bank, in Ramallah and Jenin, that will stop the Palestinian people from looking high to free Palestine.
True. Well, Mr. Redwan, from Palestine, I do want to move over a bit to this Iranian-Israeli dispute at the moment. As we know, Iran carried out its major retaliation, and since then, the U.S. has been cooperating and discussing with Israel about their response to Iran. Just yesterday, CNN and the Jerusalem Post mentioned that there is a private Telegram group that has shared an extremely sensitive, top-secret U.S. intelligence document from the U.S. Department of Defense that was dated around October 15-16 and talking extensively about its strike inside of Iran. Inside of it, they start talking about practicing air-to-air refueling, combat search and rescue operations with a large number of aircrafts. And this has actually been the talk of a lot of the Western and Israeli media for the past few days, giving this Telegram group a lot of popularity, actually. A lot of people are now following them. It is a Telegram group faced with, they post a lot of things related to the resistance. Do you believe these documents could be authentic, as CNN has mentioned?
No, I don't believe. I believe those are fake documents.
Yes.
And to mislead the Iranians, it's kind of strategic camouflage, because such documents cannot be leaked out, because the people who knows about it or who contain this kind of documents are very limited to two or three people.
Yes.
So anybody could leak something like that out will put his own life in danger. So not only that, it's just they are very responsible and they are part of the plan.
Yes.
So they cannot leak this one out. Now they are trying to draw the attention of the Iranians from the real targets that they are going to hit. So and they can, let's say, simplify the attack on the Iranians, and that will make it more successful for the Israelis to do so. Also, that they don't have to train by the oil supply in the air by tankers in the air, because they have all these aircraft carriers laying down all over the Mediterranean and the Red Sea also.
Yes.
So and that could make the distance short for the aircraft carriers to attack. And I believe so, and people, audience must understand that the attack of the which is, you know, killed Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah was American planes and American pilots.
Yes.
And American ammunition, because every single report, I mean military report, agreed and said that the Israelis don't have this kind of capability to do so. So let's not be fooled. We cannot trust this enemy, the Americans or the Israelis or their allies, in any way at all. We must be at all time on guard, watching for the next. They might have surprises for us, because we don't know that this enemy might stop at any limit. This enemy has no limits at all to stop at. So we might see different attacks, different places, anywhere, anytime. Despite the civilians or the children or the strategic targets. I mean, they might. Do you think that the Americans will stop the Israelis from attacking the oil fields in Iran just to protect Iran or to limit the attack.
Of course not.
They are afraid for themselves,
yeah,
because the Iranians delivered them a very clear message to the Gulf governments that any kind of attack against our own oil fields or targets, you are going to be attacked heavily.
True.
12 million barrels flows from this area every day to the Western governments, the Western countries. So if the Iranians retaliate on the same scale,
yes,
as the Israelis are, you know, threatening, so the Americans will face, I mean the Western countries, will face a very shortage of the oil supplies. No oil supplies at all. So who is going to replace those 12 million barrels per day for the Western countries? No one. So in this way, the oil price might reach $500, $600, $700.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Definitely. Mr. Ridwan, while I do have you here, since we've been talking so much about the resistance, some people have been asking what could individuals who are perhaps not in the resistance do to show their solidarity. Before yesterday, Yadiyahu Ahronot, a scenario happened in Jordan, actually, where two Israelis were injured in exchange of fire with two, as they mentioned, the Israeli occupation forces who infiltrated in Jordanian military uniforms to on the Dead Sea area. Basically what happened, two Israeli soldiers were shot at, two others, there was three people who came in from the Jordanian side in military uniforms who shot at them across the border. This is not the first time we've seen something like this. We've seen it also in Egypt and in other locations. And again, it's always been treated as the same, that they have nothing to do with the Jordanian military. They were individuals carrying out their own belief or their own actions, and we have nothing to do with it. What is your stance on these operations or scenarios that we're seeing?
Let's talk about Jordan first.
Yes.
Those two suiciders.
Yes.
Because as we've seen, they have filmed,
yes,
their will on a video.
True.
And it was broadcasted worldwide. So they knew that they are going there. They have a plan to do so, and they knew that they are going to be killed,
yes,
by the Israelis. Now, the situation in Jordan is boiling. Now, we might see at any time an eruption for this volcano in Jordan,
mm-hmm,
and the king will be wiped off, because people cannot stand anymore being or seeing their own people being massacred in front of their eyes, and the supplies going through Jordan,
yes,
to support the Israelis, food, vegetables, fruits, meat, everything they need as food supplies, due to the closure of the Emm Rashrash port.
Yes.
So we are going to see more and more, and it's at one point of a time after the eruption, I believe this is going to be major in there, and nothing can stop it. Also in Egypt, we see lots of Egyptians, and we've seen many incidents happening there.
Yes,
an Egyptian soldier shooting and killing other Israelis. Now, for how long do you think those Muppets in Egypt and in Jordan can control their own people, and the suppression of their own people, being jailed, being attacked, being killed, being whatever? So it's all those, you know, maneuvers to stop this eruption will fail, because it's going to be huge.
Well, also, I do want to move over a bit to Yemen. Again, before yesterday, Yemen targeted a megalopolis, in the Arabian Sea for violating a ban. Basically, this ship was a Malta-flight container ship, and it was currently en route to Oman's Salalah area. Yemen has come out, many people consider it as a third world country. However, in relation with the resistance, it seems a lot of people are describing it as extremely brave. Usually when the first targets happen, these targets and these missiles, specifically in Tel Aviv, have been coming from Yemen. They have held their sea routes, attacking warships, and every Friday they still come out during these thousands of people participating in these protests that we're seeing in solidarity with the resistance. Yemen at the moment, what part does it play in the resistance?
Well, it's a very important and major part because, banning the ships from crossing the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean also has, affected the port of Umm Rashrash to be closed down or to break.
Yes.
So this kind of effect, and also that's to say again that if you don't know the history of Yemen, you will not understand what's going on now.
Yes.
This is the history. The history of Yemen, no one could invade Yemen at all in history.
Why exactly?
Because due to the its geographical position, second to the culture of the Yemenis, they will not accept humiliations whatsoever. The Yemeni are more determined and more clear. Either I die or I live free. So what's happening now, especially the Houthis, now are exposing the real face and the real Yemeni personality.
Yeah.
So it's not only that. Second, that they have this patriotic mentality. Well, now I can reveal because now it's a past. It was in the 70s. Yemen was the base for the resistance, and the training camps was there. And if I want to reveal some information about the Black September organizations, it was based in Yemen, trained by Yemen, supported by Yemen. And if the people knows about the Black September organizations, who did the most of the missions against the Israelis all over the world, not only in Palestine. So the Yemenis have this very long history of bravery and freedom seekers, let's say. So they don't care. They left them nothing to lose. They made them live on the minimum side, and they are doing what they believe. It's a mission of the country and the mission of God also, because they are very strong believers. So we might see Yemenis are Yemen involved more and more in this operation, and I believe they don't get scared very easy. And also they have warned the Saudi Arabia, if you do so, more support or facilitating the air bases for the Israeli planes, you will be the next target also. So, and the Saudis now, they want to take the country into another level of, having shows and these kind of celebrations, and they just want to live very, very relaxed and luxury.
Exactly. Well, Mr. Ridwan, we have around 30 to 40 seconds left in today's show, and I do have to ask you, many people are claiming that the only way the Israeli aggression on Lebanon, on Gaza, could stop is by the resistance. Do you agree with this?
Nothing can stop this aggression but the resistance.
Yes.
And the resistance didn't come by Hezbollah. The resistance started in 1948 and even in 1936, before the existence of the Israeli government and the declaring the Israeli government in 1948. And a very important point that Lebanon in 1948, on the 15th of May, declared war on Israel. This declaration still works now.
Still.
Okay, so we didn't stop it, we didn't call it off. We are in a state of war. So they must understand the Lebanese government and the Lebanese people. This is legally what the resistance is doing, is legalized by international law, what so-called international law.
Yes.
It's declarations of war going on war with the Israelis on the 15th of May 1948 still working.
Well, with that, I'm afraid our time has run out. I'd love to thank my guest, Mr. Ridwan Rezat, political analyst. Always a pleasure having you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for watching another episode of From Beirut. Until tomorrow, goodbye.